The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's Wednesday, the 11th of November, 2020. On the podcast today, Dan Betts, CEO of Hummingbird Resources, discusses the increase in the license area at their Dubi Gold project in Liberia. Also on the podcast, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel, talks about Bushveld Minerals, Blue Jay Mining and Orosso Mining. Plus, as always, at the end of the podcast, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see both these lists, top 10 versions of these lists, at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll also see lots of other content right there on the front page. And of course, our COVID-19 index. Biggest riser today on the index is Novacyt, bouncing strongly, up 11.6% to 793. Of course, big sell-off day before yesterday. Biggest faller today is Biotrol, down only 2.4%. Not a big fall already today, so 6 pence out there. Check that out, of course, at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dan Betts, CEO of Hummingbird Resources. HUM is ticker there. Dan, thanks for joining me.
Morning, Justin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and you've released an update on the Dubi Gold project. And of course, there's sort of three moving parts to your business. You've got core projects, of course, and you've got this as well. But this is a big old project, this. Before we get in, just give them a brief summary, Dan, as to what you're all about at Hummingbird, please.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. Now, Hummingbird is a gold mining exploration and development company with a mine in Mali producing circa 10,000 ounces a month, and a development project in Guinea that we hope to be in construction in the new year, ready pouring gold in 18 months, which will take Hummingbird to be a multi-asset, multi-mine gold producer. And then we have this significant large-scale development project in Liberia, which we are doing with a joint venture partner called Pasofino Gold, and they're the operator. But that's what this morning's announcement was about.
Yeah, and before we get into this license upgrade, increase, I should say, just to explain the size of this project. It's a big, chunky project, isn't it?
Oh, well, we discovered circa 4 million ounces of gold, and we only drilled 3 of the 138 anomalies that we identified. So on our mineral development agreement, that is huge, circa 70 kilometres from one end to the other, there are another 135 drill targets to explore further and hopefully drill. And that's before you look at the deposits we already have that are not drilled out, they're still open. And that's where Pasofino is focusing on developing a feasibility study and increasing those resources to showcase the scale of this project. I mean, I've always said it's a large scale project, and I think actually more gold province with many mines that will be discovered across it over the ensuing decades. I mean, it's a huge, huge project in a huge area. But this license today was like a hole in the polo mint, really. It was a well-known artisanal mining area. It was then taken out by a company called Bougainvillea Resources, and then an Australian listed company called Equator Resources. It has historic drill data on it. It has some extremely prolific, well-known artisanal workings. But they've never developed it, largely for want of cash and marketing exposure. And it's something that's been on our radar for the best part of a decade, really. And the opportunity came up to option it up, and we have exercised that option. So to bring that license into our mineral development agreement is a logical fit. It's obviously, there's the potential for high-grade discoveries, which is potentially a game changer. And notwithstanding that, there's potential for significant resources that are easily within the radius of where we would be looking to build a plant. So I think it's definitely a big addition to the potential value of the project.
Yeah. Oh, and talk about the value there, you know, your PEA pre this 43% IRR and $337 million MPV at a 1500 gold price. And the gold price is knocking around, what, 1900? And I can't see it coming back a long time. So does, I mean, are sort of funders and, you know, looking more favourably on gold projects now because the gold price is on a bit of a tear?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think that that pre-feasibility study, of course, was only on one of the deposits, on the Tuzon deposits. So one of the things Pasofino are doing is infill drilling and raising the confidence in the UBF deposit and looking to increase the scale of this mining project in the DFS. And I think, you know, you may see a significantly bigger plant with a significant economies of scale and significantly higher MPV than that, certainly at these gold prices. I mean, I think it's going to be a big gold project.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, Dan, as always, three reasons then why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add Hummingbird Resources to their watch list, please.
Well, I think, as a cash generative gold producer, we've been deleveraging fast and we're in a healthy position balance sheet wise. I think probably there's a buying opportunity with the gold stocks being smashed this week due to Pfizer bringing out a COVID cure or vaccine. And you look across the market, the junior gold stocks and, well, all gold stocks have been absolutely smashed. But I'm not sure a vaccine for COVID really changes the fact the economy's been trashed and they've printed a zillion dollars. So I'm still very much a gold bull. Mm-hmm. And I think Hummingbird has a lot of growth and optionality within it that we're looking to develop fast.
Yeah. It's funny that sell-off on the gold, really, and then the gold coming. Like you say, you know, the economy is going to take a long time to recover. Of course, a vaccine is welcome. There's more news on vaccines coming out. But, a quick rollout will not see the mass of people vaccinated before sort of March, April time. But even then, like you say, there's lots of people unemployed and lots of businesses have gone through. They've got to re-stimulate the economies. So that's going to happen. So it's an odd dip, that, on gold, really, wasn't it?
Well, it's more for me. I mean, the growth and the unemployment and the time lag, those are all significant. But for me, it's just the value of money. I mean, you can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You can't print that much money and then pretend you haven't. So yeah. Mm-hmm. I think gold has to go up.
Absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Dan, thanks for that, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks. Bye, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You all right, John?
Yes, good, thank you.
And of course, we started this podcast suggested by yourself, which is a very good call, I thought, 2 minutes after 11, because normally we start at 11 recording, so of course, 2 minutes silence there, because it's November the 11th, and very respectful. But some people haven't been as respectful, have they, John?
No, it's a shame. Extinction Rebellion decided to stage a fake remembrance at the Cenotaph this morning. And whilst we agree with the concept of reducing greenhouse gases and looking after our environment, we don't agree with this sort of act of protest, or shall we say highlighting their issue at the Cenotaph. That doesn't seem like the right place for it, particularly on the 11th of the 11th.
Yeah, I can see how it sort of goes in that meeting, saying, how do we get maximum amount of attention for our cause? Which, of course, what they want to do. And, the biggest, highest profile sort of, event at the moment, of course, is the silence at 11 o'clock. But they're not going to win themselves any fans or supporters by doing it and disrespecting, you know, people who have fought and died for this country. They're not going to get that, you know. In fact, it's going to have the opposite effect, I feel. And while we may be talking about it now, giving them attention, it's negative attention, and some would argue any publicity is good publicity, but I feel, no, it's not the right way to go about it. You're going to win enemies, not friends, you know?
Well, Justin, you and I have the benefit of long conversations with our parents who remembered the war. I think there's a young generation coming through who didn't necessarily have that sort of connection. Maybe they're still able to talk to their grandparents about what happened in the war, and perhaps they will learn to have a bit more respect. So, I mean, I agree with the sentiments from Extinction Rebellion, but I'm just not agreeing with the way they're going about it.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, talking about, the trend is your friend. Also, when it comes to investing, when you see a mega trend happening, and we're seeing it at the moment, you know, in energy especially, you're seeing funds, you know, divest of oil pretty much, and you get these sovereign funds. These companies have billions and billions and billions, and you can't ignore that. People like BlackRock as well are pulling funds and setting up new funds for renewable energy. You can't ignore the money flow, because that is a trend. That's a huge trend. And so when people are saying, oh, I'm getting into this oil stock because it's cheap, there's a reason why oil stocks are cheap at the moment. Of course, COVID is one, lack of demand. But secondly, we may have a last hurrah in the oil price because, of course, exploration has gone down, money. So we may, when demand goes back up, when coronavirus goes and we've got vaccines, oil may rally. But the trend is down, I feel, towards oil and oil investment and it's towards renewables. And this report yesterday from the, let me just find it from the IEA report said 90% of new electricity generation in 2020 will be renewable, with just 10% powered by gas and coal. Trend puts green electricity on track to become the largest power source in 2025, displacing coal, which has dominated for the past 50 years. You can't ignore that kind of trend, can you, John? When you see that, you know, movement towards renewables, you can't ignore that.
Well, it's a great trend because renewables have passed that tipping point. Although it does depend what sort of oil price you use, because I suspect oil prices will not go as high as they have before. I still think that the era of peak oil is not yet complete, if you see what I mean. So I'm quite sure that when people start flying again, oil consumption will increase back towards where we were last year. In fact, I think in the next few years, oil consumption will probably go to a new peak level. But having said that, we saw news today that Shell are going to halve refining capacity in their big Singaporean oil refinery. But let's not forget that actually, even when everybody was locked down at the depth of the coronavirus crisis, clearly, some of us are still locked down in the UK. Mm-hmm. The oil consumption was still about 70% of what it was. So the world still needs oil, and I think it's not over for the oil sector. But the great thing is that as we install more and more wind farms, particularly the big offshore wind farms, a greater proportion of our energy is going to come from renewables, and less from coal. So I think, when it comes to investment in coal, one's got to be very careful, because we know that the big institutional funds are basically saying no to it. It's now one of those things that's specifically included from many institutional funds that if you've got over a certain amount of coal within your production portfolio, they can't go anywhere near you anymore. So coal is definitely on the way out, although China burns more and more of it every year, and they continue to build coal-fired power stations. But at least in the rest of the world, renewables are taking over, and China did come out with this grandiose statement saying that they were going to displace coal and go carbon neutral. So I think that was by 2060. So they have made the statement that they're going to get there, but who knows? You've got to watch what the Chinese do and not really listen to what they say.
Yeah, exactly. Trend is your friend. Like you said, did you say you someone said to you once when you used to work somewhere that gave you a bit of advice? What was it? Don't ignore the market or something?
Many years ago at Goldman Sachs, they said to us, never fight the market. And quite clearly, you know, if the market's against you, unless you really think you're the cleverest guy on the street, you are often better to roll with it.
Yeah. But if you think you are the cleverest guy on the street, don't put all your money into that bet or that speculation. Maybe just, you know, do 10%. Because if you are right, you could pay off well. But if you're wrong and you put everything into it, you could, you know, go bankrupt. And you may be right even further down the line. The market can stay, you know, irrational as long as you can stay liquid. So it's been people who've saw megatrends start of megatrends, but they've gone bust pursuing it too strongly, that thought, because it hasn't proved right for a long time, you know. So you never, you're right with oil. Like I said, I still think there'd be a rally in oil prices, you know, for a while yet, but, you know, as far as the longer term is concerned, if you're talking 5-10 years on the line, then you've got to look about divesting a little bit, I think, like the big funds are, the big sovereign funds. Anyway, John, let's some company news. What's out there at the moment?
Very interesting and quite topical today. Bushveld Minerals, they will have planned this announcement probably a week ago, knowing them. But they announced today the development of the new solar mini grid that's going to be installed at the Vametco site in South Africa. That mini grid will be combined with a vanadium redox flow battery, which of course is something that is an area they're definitively moving into. That mini grid's going to contribute 10% of Vametco's power supply. I think 10% is actually a cautious and conservative number. I think it will be somewhat higher than that myself. So they're talking about it supplying 4 megawatts per hour. That's the flow battery. So 3.5 megawatt mini grid. And that is now allowable under the power utilities new regulations in South Africa. So Bushveld were very quick off the mark to get themselves a license to provide their own power for their own facilities. And so that should cut their carbon emissions or carbon dioxide emissions by more than 5,700 tons a year and nearly 114,000 tons over the next 20 years. So as you can see, that's a huge and meaningful cut in carbon emissions. Mm-hmm. And assuming this goes well, and it's being very well planned and being built by all the right people, from what I can see, then they should be able to expand and roll out this system, and they should actually make quite good profit from it, because it's definitely a profit generating idea, and it will be a template for many other companies to follow and copy, and of course buy the vanadium redox flow batteries off Bushveld's partners, and I think will be very good business for them, and not only will it do that, but it will increase the demand for vanadium to go into those batteries quite substantially.
Yeah, absolutely marvellous stuff. BMN ticker, but again, will it be enough to change the share price? Because it's been grinding lower for a while. In fact, you know what? I'm liking the look of this recent chart action on BMN. I don't hold stock, of course, in BMN, but that 10 pence, 10.6 level, it bounced off there a couple of times. Then it rallied a little bit from 10 to like 15, which is almost 50%. Let's be honest, it's a good rally. But it's come back down then. And a higher low at 11 pence. So it didn't retest that low, previous low, and now it's rallying again. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign that the bottom here may be in Bushveld. Time to get your Bushveld.
I'm very excited about this company, because I really think the vanadium redox flow battery side of things is going to take off. Very smart management team run by Fortune Mojavello. He's got good people around him. He's using great people to build the mini grid. And, you know, I think the business could transform from what is a pretty solid vanadium producer with good cash flow into a technology-based business, supplying vanadium redox batteries and of course the vanadium electrolyte to go in those batteries all over the world. So I see it's a bit of a slow progression to get the technology accepted and into the utilities at Eskom and utilities around the world. But I think this is going to work well. If you see, Elon Musk was brilliant at selling lithium ion batteries into for grid stabilization in California and Australia and other parts of the world. And I think the next phase of grid support for renewable energy is going to be the use of vanadium redox flow batteries.
Yeah, well, do you know what I'm saying? I put a neck on the line here that I think the bottom is in Bushveld. I you know, barring any sort of any negative news come out of left field, we can't foresee, I think this now, it broke that 200-day moving average. That basically, the moving average, 200-day moving, it's known as the bull bear line. And it broke it on that big rise on the 21st of October. And then it's come back, and because it's had a big rise, 50% rise, come back, consolidate. Now, the next time it breaks that, I think you're talking, it's off to the races, John, I think. This is the time. I'll probably not invest. I'll probably miss out. And then we'll be talking about this, and it'll be like, 25, 30 pence. And I'll say, see? Doubled already. I missed out. There we are. But I think the chart is looking very good. looking like a bottom is in there. Cool. What's next then, John?
Blue Jay Mining. It's another client of ours where we act as nomad and broker, as we do with Bushveld Minerals. And Rio Tinto the company reports that Rio Tinto has signed an option for a joint venture with Blue Jay on the old Äänekoski nickel copper mine in Finland. Äänekoski was a pretty good mine in its day, by all accounts. I went to see it a few years ago because Blue Jay effectively put their Greenland assets into the business, which was a very large license holder in Finland. So the Äänekoski mine was one of a number of assets. They also have the Hammaslahti mine as well. And the clever guys at Rio Tinto have decided that Äänekoski is somewhere which they want to look at in more detail. They're clearly going to spend money on investigating the area. I'm not entirely sure what they're after. Are they after a very large nickel, high-grade nickel deposit, similar to the older Outokumpu mine that ran at extraordinarily high grades and supported the Finnish government for some years, by all accounts? So it's great news that Rio Tinto have come in there. It shows that Rio Tinto think that Blue Jay are good people to do business with. We know that Blue Jay has sent Rio Tinto Iron and Titanium in Canada a large amount of ilmenite material for a smelter test. So ilmenite material is titanium feedstock in effect. So that's waiting over there in Canada for that test to run next year. The smelter test got delayed because of issues to do with coronavirus, with slightly less, where they lost production. But of course, demand has remained very strong for that sort of material that they produce over there. So they're still trying to catch up, and that delayed the smelter test, unfortunately. So it's quite possible that Blue Jay may be dealing with Rio Tinto on more than one front going forward.
I see. All right. And you used one more stock. OMI, Orosur, what's happening there?
Orosur, yeah, very interesting. They announced yesterday that they'd received another $500,000 from Monte Aguila. That's the joint venture company in Colombia between Newmont Mining and Agnico Eagle. So Newmont have got their, you know, they're quite busy with other things around the world. So they formed this joint venture with Agnico Eagle. They're still very interested in the ANZA project that Orosur Mining own and control. So as part of the phase one agreement here, Agnico Eagle is going to spend $10 million over 4 years exploring the project. So this is great news for Orosur, and hopefully they'll start drilling soon, because what we really want to see is results coming out of this particular exploration.
Cool. OMI ticker there. And anything else there, John? Anything else happening?
Well, look, it's an interesting world because base metals and industrial metals were all going up this morning. And that's despite the fact that the dollar was strengthening. So US long bond yields have risen over the last couple of days. I think that's what's dragging the dollar higher. And there's a bit of a Biden effect there as well. So I'm not, you know, who knows how the politics are going to play out in the States. Trump's refusing to leave the White House by all accounts. But there must be good ongoing demand for base metals and industrial minerals, because the iron ore price is going up, the rare earth prices for neodymium and praseodymium are going up. So there seems to be a lot happening. Normally, when the dollar strengthens, we see all metals prices at least just ticking back. So for the dollar to rise and base and industrial metals to rise as well, that looks like quite good news. That suggests to us that the market is expecting stimulus money to continue to stimulate manufacturing and the construction of more infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous stuff. John, thanks for that, fella, and we'll speak you next week.
Thank you.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. OnCommune Holdings, up 1.2% to 167.5. At four, Two Shields Investments, down 17.5% to 0.117. At three, Rolls-Royce, down 4.86% to 101. At two, Novacyt, bouncing 11.7% to 794. And at one, Remote Monitored Systems, up 122%, 2.45 pence. All right, top five Most liked RNS is as follows. Remote monitor systems, farm 2, farm update. At 4, Iconic Labs, TR1 notification. At 3, Roslyn Data Tech, contract win. At 2, Synergen Holdings. What is that? Polar Capital, up to 7.39% from 6.37%. And at 1, it is Minds Machines, corporate update and share buyback program, up 30% on that today. The most read RNSs are as Novasite, director shareholding, Amiga Diagnostics, investor presentation, and Tizian Life Sciences, phase 1B2 clinical trial, Crohn's disease. Check those out at voxmarkets.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.